Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Believe in Minnesota Football podcast, hosted by the starting kicker for your Golden Gophers, Matthew Trickett, and me, Tony Liebert. For today's episode, we'll be talking a little bit about National Signing Day, early National Signing Day, which is coming up on Wednesday, and some more transfer portal talk and a little bowl game talk as we inch closer to the Gophers versus Syracuse in the Pinstripe Bowl on December 29th. I guess we'll start with the transfer portal again. Obviously, it's continuing to be a hot topic. I guess for the fans listening, the Gophers landed two more commitments over the weekend. One from Charlotte wide receiver Elijah Spencer, who's a very talented wide receiver. He had almost 1,000 yards last season, 57 catches for 943 and 9 touchdowns. And he will have 3 years of eligibility remaining, which is the same as Southeast Louisiana safety transfer Jack Henderson, who's also a very productive player last season, who had 82 tackles, 2 interceptions, 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and was all Southland Conference. That's area that's worked well for the Gophers the last few years with Jack Gibbons, Ryan Stapp last year, both from Abilene Christian, and now Jack Henderson coming from the same conference. But yeah, two big additions from the transfer portal. And I guess for you, when you transferred from Kent State, what's kind of, I guess, the timeline? I don't remember exactly when you verbally committed, but kind of at this point, when two guys like this say they're coming to Minnesota, what's the timeline, I guess, that you start joining the program, obviously, because the team right now is preparing for the bowl game. So when it was you, when did you start practicing with the team?
Yeah, so I was a lot later. I got in the transfer portal, I think, late January, and then I think within a week, I committed to Minnesota. But I didn't have to arrive until June or early May, I should say, just because I had to complete my degree at Kent. But for these guys, it's going to be a lot quicker turnaround. So, I mean, for them, now there's a 3-week window of being able to transfer, take visits. And I think you have to have all that pretty much decided before when's signing day tomorrow.
Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday, okay, yes, the 21st. So, yeah, I mean, guys that are going to be enrolling in the spring, I think the 4 commits so far are all doing that. So they have to, you know, go on these visits, know that they want to transfer out of wherever they're at, and then it's a quick turnaround. I mean, you commit, and then within a month you're going to be moving in somewhere new and have a new – schedule for fall or spring classes and start winter workout. So it's a lot of change really quickly for these guys, but it is really helpful getting guys in the spring, just because we're able to go through spring ball, see how practices are like, and establish yourself among the guys before fall camp hits. So you have a little bit extra time to get comfortable and hang out with the guys and create those bonds that really get tested during the season.
Yeah, I would imagine, obviously, that's something that's become a lot more popular even for high school guys to commit before their – or to, I guess, come to the program before the summer and practice with the spring. And I think the past few years, you've kind of even seen that with the Gophers, with guys like Justin Wally. I remember he was an early enrollee. And I think it's a really big advantage to get those extra couple months. And I'd imagine for a transfer, it would be pretty weird, I guess, going to a school one semester. Like going Louisiana and Charlotte are two very different areas than Minnesota. So playing a football season in Southeast Louisiana and then transferring to Minnesota for the winter would be a little weird. But we'll see how that goes for Jack Henderson. But I guess kind of now tying into more of the high school aspect of early National Signing Day, where this is obviously time of the year where everyone loves to talk about recruiting rankings, saying this guy's ranked here, that guy's ranked there. And I've always kind of had a theory that rankings are a very interesting thing because ultimately they don't matter. And anyone who I guess says that they do, because they do, I guess, to some point, I think. Like the thing that I get annoyed with rankings, is, especially in football, there's so many different players. And let's say there's like 25 five stars or maybe 20 in the whole country. And then there's like 250 four stars. So that's, let's say 300 players are either four or five stars. Then there's like 2000 FBS players that are three star recruits. And I think recruiting rankings get a little lazy at that point. So that's why I think is a huge reason why they're not very important. Cause saying that 2000 players are all as good as each other can be really true because they all have the talent to develop into the same thing, I think. But I guess from your point of view, and I guess a college football player's point of view, I know specialist recruiting rankings is a little different, but how much, I guess, in the locker room, because obviously a coach is going to tell you like, oh, recruiting rankings don't matter. We're just going to bring in our guys. How does that kind of, I guess, work in a college locker room?
Yeah, so it's funny, you know, the outside perspective is, oh, this guy is a four-star. He's going to be one of our top guys, whereas this guy, you know, he may have been a mid to lower three-star guy, so he's not going to have a great impact. That all gets thrown out the window as soon as you step foot in the facility. I mean, and especially if you're one of the more well-known guys in the recruiting rankings. You know, all the guys in college see that as their experience and everything is so much more important than the stars behind your name. So, I mean, in those winter workouts, you'll see the guys with the four stars, they don't just get the benefit of the doubt. I mean, guys on the team, you're going to have to prove to them why you're a four-star, why you're a high three-star, stuff like that. It's not easy sometimes just because guys can be really hard on each other. And, like, everyone wants to be the best. So when guys come in with that four-star or whatever their ranking is, everyone else is going to be like, okay, like, prove it to me. Show me why you were ranked better than me, you know? So it creates that really nice field of competition that improves everybody ultimately. But yeah, I truly think ratings get thrown out the window. And like you said, with the 2,000 three stars or whatever that is, kicking ranking is a little bit different. But one thing that I think could greatly impact recruiting of other sports and rankings of other sports is just add a half a star, you know?
Yeah, that's what I've always thought.
Kicking has five stars, four and a half stars, four stars. Just add a half star, you know? Those guys that are borderline, just, you know, make it a little bit different just to separate guys based on different qualities that they have, you know? I think a lot of it comes down to work ethic, and it may be hard to rank guys from one camp based on, you know, their work ethic, but you have to get some sense of the kid's character as they're going through these camps. And if you were to add that into it, I think it would be a little bit better of a feature. But that's me just preaching that. So
no, I've had the exact same sentiment since I've, I guess, even known what recruiting rankings are, because I think it's a very odd thing. If you look, I guess, at a list of players, and a guy who's ranked 320th is a 3-star, but a guy who's ranked 1500th is also a 3-star. It just seems like a little odd. And if you get deep into the weeds of recruiting, it's obviously with all these rankings and stuff, it's sometimes it almost just like who you know. And when you have this camp, that means so much because you have all these recruiting analysts there changing their leaderboards based off this camp. There's so many times you see, especially I think recruiting rankings are very pointless before you're even a senior, because at that point it's all about like what camps you went to, who you know, and then they're ranking you high. And a lot of times you see by the time the guy's a senior, he might drop 400 spots or go up 400 spots. And like at the end of the day, what's in high school, you can improve a lot year over year, but making that big of a drastic jump in a player's analysis, a little weird. So just like anything, though, it gets a little political at times, and it's just all about who you know and schmoozing to the right person. So that's why I personally think it's a lot more about who the player is. And like you mentioned, that you figure out pretty early who's a real – who has a 4-star work ethic and who's a 4-star talent. And that I think that's the most important thing for, I guess, fans looking at recruiting rankings, because they'll see – they'll be like, oh, the Gophers have the 45th best class this year and they had the 37th last year. Why are they getting worse? Like I just kind of said, I think really like – the classes probably 25 to 50 are not that much different, because you're getting the same level of talent. You get a couple 4-stars, a handful of high level 3-stars, and one recruit there and one recruit there can make like a 10 team difference, because it's all pretty close. So like if you look at the Gophers list and be like, oh, why are they 45th? Like from my perspective, if they're anywhere between 30 and 50, I think it kind of comes down to the same. But with so much information, it just becomes a lot of overanalyzing, and people are like, oh, why is this? Why is that? And at the end of the day, I think it just comes down to more about the culture and program that you have in place that you can bring guys in and develop them, rather than what stars are they coming in with.
Yeah, I think it was Texas A&M last year with the number one recruiting class. And this year, they're not even going to make an appearance in a bowl game. So yeah, while recruiting is huge to improve your team, there's a lot more that goes into it. And it is nice to simplify everything with a list of, you know, these are the rankings, these are where each team stands. That's less than half the story. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't think Minnesota is ever going to be, you know, top five in recruiting rankings anytime soon, at least. Yeah. It's tough to take down those blue bloods. Alabama's been up there forever. You know, Ohio State's up there every year, Clemson. And it's not that those programs per se are that much better. It's just, you know, the tradition and different aspects like that, that all go into where a recruit wants to end up. So,
yeah. Like if someone asked me and they're like, why didn't this 4-star player from Minnesota commit to the Gophers? And why did he go to SEC school? Like I always say that those schools just have things that the Gophers can't offer. It doesn't necessarily mean that the Gophers are this bottom dweller program. It's just some players want to play in the SEC and they want to play in the South. And some people just don't like Minnesota. And if you, it's all about comparing yourself as a program to your relative peers. Like if you're, this is a weird example that I just thought of, but if like you're in the NBA and you're like the 11th guy on the bench and you're comparing yourself to like LeBron James, you're not going to be that happy with yourself. But you can still be a successful 11th guy. If you're the Gophers and you're comparing yourself to Alabama and Ohio State, you're going to have pretty tough time meeting those expectations. But if you compare yourself to Wisconsin, to Iowa, to even Penn State, Michigan State, the best teams in the Big Ten that you should be able to compete with when it comes to recruiting and stuff like that, that's where you can meet those realistic expectations. And then once you become a program like that, then you can start saying, oh, how do we take the next step? It's not an overnight thing. You're not going to become a top five recruiting program like you said. And like even if you look at Texas A&M now, they had like 25 guys or something crazy enter the transfer portal. And I think that's a testament that it's all about your program. It's all about who you're surrounding yourself with, the assistant coaches, the facilities, the culture you built. And I think Minnesota's proven that, and Coach Fleck has proven that he has a sustainable culture that I think will compete in the Big Ten long term, no matter if his recruiting class is ranked 45th or 32nd.
Yeah, I agree. It's just doing your best and pushing yourself to the limit each year. Because, like you said, comparing yourself to a Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, that's the best way to go about it. And you have to start somewhere. You can't just jump all the way up to the top. You have to, you know, work your way up. You can see teams jump drastically to the front of the line. Not that Texas A&M was ever bad at recruiting, but, you know, they were never top five. All of a sudden, they're top five one year, and then all these expectations surround their team. With those expectations, they can be very hard to deal with if you don't have a solid foundation built. And like we saw, you know, they weren't able to live up to that. I believe at the beginning of the year, they were ranked in the top five, top 10 at least, and then quickly dropped out of there and never even got close to getting back in it. So, you know, I think Minnesota is in the right track. It's not going to be an overnight success like, you know, a lot of
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Fans want to see, but it is heading in the right direction. And the players right now are working extremely hard to change that so that when we come back in the future and, you know, are on the sidelines at games or in the stands supporting our alma mater, we're able to enjoy, you know, the top recruits in the nation. So it is a tough period to be in because it's just under that level of success that the fans want, but you got to go through those periods.
Yeah. Early in Coach Fleck's tenure with the Gophers, he was getting compared a lot to Dabo Sweeney with Clemson. They share very similar, I guess, beliefs and coaching styles, but for Clemson, they were a program that was going 8-4, 9-3, having years similar to this. And it took 5, 6, 7, 8 years till they broke through into being that top 10 program every single year and playing in New Year's Six Bowls and making the College Football Playoff. And it's when you get those one player like even a player the level of Ethan Calliope-Manis, or you get these players that are big time recruits, those are the players that change the program, and then that's how you can get more. And going back to Texas A&M, like, they might have been selling a 5-star culture when they only had a 4-star or culture at the program, and they can't sustain the 5-stars. Like, if you threw 12 5-stars in the Gophers program, I'm sure Coach Fleck would figure out a way to make sure it works. But that's a huge change from what that you have right now, and that's a lot of personalities. That's a lot of different style of player that you're used to coaching. And I think that's what Texas A&M ran into. And they could still catch up and figure out how to make it work, but I think they just weren't ready for it yet. And I guess kind of now transitioning into more early National Signing Day for you, when you were coming out of high school, did you sign to Kent State in the winter, or did you do it in the normal signing day in the spring?
I did it in the spring. I had a couple offers that were ready to do the early signing day, but I wasn't sold on them yet, and I still had to take a couple visits before I really knew what I wanted to do. I think that may have been one of the first years that the early signing day was a thing as well. So it was kind of new. Not a whole bunch of people were doing it. So I waited until almost the last minute to commit. So, I really wanted to take my time, make sure I was making the right decision for me and my family.
Yeah. I guess when you're signing the paper, what is it like? Do you remember what it said? Like, exactly, like, what are you even signing?
Well, it's funny because it's not even anything. Like, it's just a blank piece of paper when you're up on stage. But, I think I signed at like 7 a.m, 6:30 a.m, something like that. All the papers at my house, just because all the coaches want to, get that thing signed as early as possible, just so you can't make any brash decisions. So when you're up there on stage, it's just a blank piece of paper for most guys. There might be some people that don't do that. But to my knowledge, everybody that I've seen do it, it's just a blank piece of paper. And you can either write in pen, you can act like you're writing just so you can get a couple pictures.
Yeah. I always thought it was funny when they did it so like early in the morning. Cause like, I remember walking into high school and then you're just like, passing by like the gym and you just see like 20 people at like 6:45 a.m. They're just signing what college they're going to go to. And it just seems very odd thing to do before the sun rises sometimes. But did you have like a normal, what was the process like at your high school? Did you sign with like a bunch of other people that were committed, or how did that work for you?
Yeah. So we did it a bit differently. Most schools do it in their gym. And each player could have like their certain time slot. For my high school, we all just went into our auditorium, and then I forget exactly how many of us there were, but they just kind of announced us out for each person, and people's families were there, and it was in the afternoon. Your student friends were there, and then everyone at the same time with their hats on was able to sign the paper and get pictures. So it was good. It was a good time.
Yeah, it is kind of what makes college sports so interesting, because it really is a spectacle when you see all the clips on Twitter of people committing and all the fakes with the hat and all that. And then even now the programs have gotten really creative with the announcements when a player does commit or is signed at this point, but that they have like the cool cartoon animation sometimes. And then you get all the highlights. Signing day is always a very fun spectacle of college sports. And it's one of those things that it makes the sport feel super important, and it makes it feel like a big deal.
No, 100%. That's half of the reason to do it, because I remember at mine, I was the night before and maybe even that morning. Like, I was very sick. So I was debating even going to my signing day because I just didn't have the strength or energy to do anything. So I was not going to go. And then my parents are like, you know, you probably should. You only get to do this once. And I was like, all right, I'll go. And, you know, brought myself to go. And it was good. But definitely they make it out a lot bigger than it really needs to be.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I guess kind of wrapping up the National Signing Day talk, the Gophers likely will have a few other guys that commit between now and Wednesday. And you can, I guess, follow me on Twitter for more updates on that and kind of breakdowns on who is coming to Minnesota. But like we kind of touched on, I think it'll be more than a good class for the Gophers. They got a lot of Minnesota guys coming in. A lot of talented players out of state. Some good running back and wide receiver talent, good offensive line talent. And I think it'll be another good class coming in. That, and Coach Fleck has shown that he's very good at developing talent and developing talent that some people might not see as a contributor in the Big Ten, but like they might not have a high recruiting ranking, but Coach Fleck has shown that the program he's built can develop players like that. So there'll be players that you read on Twitter or you'll see online. They'll be like, oh, this guy's going to be super good. This guy's going to be good. And really the only people that know, I think, are those players and the coaching staff. So it'll be fun to follow. Like we said, that is on Wednesday. So you can follow, I guess, a bunch of coverage online from me and other people. But, yeah, the bowl game is only 10 days away now in New York. I guess what's the timeline between now and then when you guys are flying out there, the festivities before? Kind of how is that looking?
Yeah, so this past weekend, we were able to do a lot of festivities with the team. We went to the Vikings game, which was awesome. Sadly, we're not there for the entirety of it.
When did you guys leave?
End of the third, I believe. Okay. So I think we may have been the contributing factor to the Vikings not being able to score points, because as soon as we left, you know, the Vikings wanted to put up all those points. but then we also had a nice Christmas team party, you know, ugly sweater party. So that was fun. And then the rest of – this is our last official week here. And then I believe we leave next Sunday, Christmas Day, to go to New York. So – yeah, it'll be exciting. We got a few more practices in here before we go to the bowl site and get our last couple practices there before the game.
Yeah, so are you doing, I guess, Christmas with your family before the flight or when you get in New York? Or kind of what are you going to do with that?
Probably, you know, when I get to New York. I haven't talked about it too much yet, but – that's kind of one of the things that comes with college football and bowl games.
Yeah.
You don't always get to be home for the holidays or for certain festivities. So, yeah, probably New York. And then when I get home after New York, we'll probably do something as well then.
Yeah. We talked about it, I think, a few episodes ago, but New York in December around the holidays is going to be, I think, a cool experience for anyone. And all the Gophers fans that love to hate on everything and say, oh, it's a cold weather game, I think should still be a really cool experience. And it should be a good football game. I know Syracuse, I think, lost both their offensive and defensive coordinator. Their top running back, I think, opted out of the game. But it's in their backyard, their home state. So they've built a very good culture and good program as well. So I think it should be a very fun bowl game to follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll wrap it up there. As always, I appreciate all the fans for listening. Row the boat, Sky Umon, go Gophers.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.